Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with two for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to do a follow-up on the last video we did on Michael Brown because he has done a Lord of the Rings length interview telling his side of the story, defending himself, and kind of introducing unhealthy and trying to normalize unhealthy church practices, in my opinion, that really come from the New Apostolic Reformation movement. So it's a I'd say it's a pretty interesting interview, but sometimes what's interesting gets bogged down by the length. However, we watched all of it, so you don't have to, and we're going to play some highlights in this video. But first, I want you to know Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. You can support our work over at evangelicaldarkweb.org/join. I also have a book, Winning Not Winsome, 10 Commandments of Spiritual Warfare, linked in the description below. And this is the article that we have written for this story. It's going to be published with this video on Evangelical Dark Web's website, linked in the description below. And, you know, we've had a pretty balanced take when it comes to the Michael Brown Me Too story, because I'm very anti-Me Too, I against feminism and all that. I believe in biblical justice, you know, on the basis of two or three witnesses, and this thing called due process, which the Me Too movement often does not think about. Now, Michael Brown, I believe, is guilty based on his own confessions, but I don't believe that, you know, he's an abuser. I don't believe what he did to the Sarah Monk person was categorically abuse. I don't think it was that. It was creepy, but she's not a victim. She was not abused. Like, two things can be true. He can be a creep, but she's not a victim. And the fact that she retroactively changed her thought process to make herself a victim of something, that's not biblical. There's no biblical grounds for that. I mean, that should be dismissed. And ultimately, yeah, he's guilty of what he's guilty of, but we don't need to make it into something that it's not. This guy has been defending false teachers for decades. We don't need to add and kind of conjure up guilty allegations against him when what he confesses to is really bad and his entire history is also bad. And, you know, what's interesting, though, he does downplay the soul tie relationship, which is, again, some very cringe charismatic speak. And he does downplay that language for these type of things, and he upplays the spiritual father language. So that's what I want to get into in the first clip. And this is how he defends smacking girls on the butts, like it's an appropriate thing to do.
With her, and I want to make this as clear as I can, because there's this completely horrific, 100% false picture being painted. So I want to be as clear as I can. I never, ever, for a split second, had sexual thoughts, intentions towards her. I never looked at her in any way other than just like a spiritual daughter, ever. Never tried to set anything up, never tried to get her in certain places. I had no goal. I had no ambition. We never exchanged a romantic word, a sexual word, nothing. I never talked to you, oh, you look really pretty in this outfit. Zero. There was nothing. I had no thought, desire, any more than towards my own daughters in that way. Absolutely. What happened, again, no excuse, but in this same burnt out state, and there's some overlap between the time periods, right? I was stupid. I acted stupidly. It was innocent. You call it idiotic, irresponsible, lacking judgment, 100%. But like my daughters, give them a hug to this day, give them a peck on the head. Nothing sexual, zero. The very worst thing, and this is like the infamous scandal, this is the thing. A few times when she walked away from my desk, I gave her a backhanded swat on her behind. And this is amazing to have to tell the whole world this. But that's what happened. It was idiotic. It was inappropriate in terms of she wasn't my daughter, and I would have done that when they were younger, you know, in a playful way. But it was completely innocent.
Yeah.
The idea that, and we first heard these charges the end of last year, and we were mortified. Nancy and I, our board heard it. They were, said, Mike, is this true? No. We were mortified that we'd meet secretly and hold hands. Never happened. Never. I offered to take a lie detector test when I heard these things. During the investigation, I reiterated that I'd give her a peck on the lips. You know, she said non-sexual, not making up, peck on the lips. Never happened. Mm-hmm. I offered to take a lie detector test on that. Or, you know, but you met late at night at Walmart. Okay, hang on.
So that's the first clip. And that's him explaining really the worst of what was proven in the Firefly report. Now, again, they say it was a third party report, but you know, who actually paid for it? You know, it's their report. It's not, there's no real third party unless the police are involved. Then you can say there's a third party investigation. So there was a Firefly report, which really did not tell us that much that was not already known, that was not already published about the incident. So our reporting on that aged pretty well, actually. But he's on a softball interview on a channel called Mercy Culture, which has about 52,000 subs. And this video is very, you know, very underwater on the dislike. It's about 2-1 higher on the dislikes than it is on the likes. And that's on 25,000 views. So this video, again, very long, but this is the softball rehab video that Michael Brown is giving himself. And I don't think it's going over well, because Michael Brown is very much intent on this is the last time he's ever going to talk about this. And that, frankly, might not be sufficient to most of the plebs out there. So this next part is where the hosts of the podcast really want to come in to bat for Michael Brown. Because again, this whole podcast is about rehabbing him and trying to make him look good. And, you know, it's a female pastor who's giving this interview named Heather Schott. And, you know, she's here to defend her some Michael Brown.
I want to share something. And I love your humility and just saying it's too friendly and not okay.
And this is not okay. We get this. It's not okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. I believe people in church understand the principle of spiritual mothers and fathers. People that maybe aren't from church culture don't understand it. Right. And this is going to sound way more odd. For the Christians that have grown up in church that are trying to make this sound odd, again,
they're creating
their own storyline of like, what did you do? No, spiritual fathers and mothers within the body of Christ is very normal. We have an entire group of spiritual sons and daughters that—
And I was trying to be there for her.
Yep. We have paid for weddings. I have been—
So let me make this very clear. No, this is not like a normal, everyday, every church thing. If you grew up in the Christian church, you likely have no idea what she's talking about. This is a foreign concept to you. But this is very much a more common practice in hyper-charismatic circles. So just to be clear, what she's saying is not representative of broad Christian culture in the United States. That's just, you know, very much, I don't want to say confirmation bias, but that's certainly a bias based on her own theological background, which is already pretty bad. So let's just be very clear that they're embellishing how normal this practice is to make Michael Brown look better.
At their births,
yes.
In the room with their births, catching babies in some of the most intimate moments
yes.
with them. My husband there for weddings as the spiritual father in weddings, kissed on foreheads before. We hug them, love on them, their children all the time, because we treat them as a spiritual son and daughter. And guess what? In the same way, they love serving us. They love serving in different ways around the body of Christ, around the church. What, in that letter that's put on there, some people may say, oh, well, what does she mean? But I want to lift your arms or serve you in whatever way. I forget exactly what that term is. It's up on the screen. We'll put it on there. But that is the heart of a spiritual son and daughter, to want to serve mom and dad to want to care for, love, and to make room for them to make space in the world and be what they're called to be. So
I'm going to play the role of narrator. They did not put that letter up there. Now, what is important to note, important context, Michael Brown was able to produce some receipts of this girl, Sarah Monk, calling him daddy. He was able to produce some receipts on that. Again, this whole thing is creepy. It's weird. It's not abuse, though, but it's just weird. and creepy and really shouldn't be done. It's kind of an inappropriate aberration in some ways. It's certainly in this instance, it was an aberration of a paternal relationship.
What you're sharing right now, if you are a Christian, to act like you don't understand this at all.
Well, even beyond, is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. It's insincere. Yeah, no, it's, I don't believe you, frankly. I don't believe you when you say that this is offensive to you. I think that moral purity right now is the spirit of the mob. It's popular. So when you get on the internet and say, I'm going to make this video, and I know it's not going to be popular, when you know precisely that it is popular, and that's the reason you're making the video, is because it's going to get the likes, the comments, and the shares, and the follows, and you can monetize it.
Right.
So I just want to look at the camera and say, I don't believe you. Right. And I also want to say, as a father, and I'm a 43-year-old dad of five children, four of which are girls. I have my oldest girl is 15 years old. Mm-hmm. And everything that you described is a normal fatherly relationship.
My
I
dad
hold
did
my
with
daughter's
this with me
hands. I kiss them on the forehead.
He would
I kiss
flick me my rear. My dad
I flick
do that.
Them on the rear. I'll give my daughters a peck on the lips. They sit on my lap. I mean, this is normal, non-sexual in any shape, form, or fashion relationship. You've said it. I would not do those types of things with someone who is not my daughter. Yep. But I want to say this. Yeah. First of all, it's 2025. 23, 24 years ago is not that long ago, but it's that long ago. It was an incredibly different time. It was before Me Too. It was before the hypersensitivity of any type of normal human relations that we have now.
There is a legitimate point that he's making here, because I'm trying to be fair as possible in this situation. There is a legitimate point that he's making here, but he's also trying to defend creepy behavior. Maybe some things weren't considered creepy back then, but kind of should have been. Anyway.
We have a hypersensitivity. Some of that's good. And much of it is not good.
I don't know if hypersensitivity, accountability around some ways.
Accountability for sure, but I think in the culture.
Have for sure been sexually harassed. Those lines aren't okay.
For sure. It's not okay. Absolutely.
But when a father is questioned.
So then she kind of goes on a nice little rant about whether a father has to question his love for his spiritual daughter. This interview gets very cringe, and I feel like she has the most cringeworthy parts in it, and she's the host of this. So Mercy Culture is, again, her podcast, and they're trying to normalize or at least obfuscate how, you know, not normal his behavior was. It was not normal, and that is the biggest lie here, is that he's not being weird, he's just being himself. And no, he was being weird. So this is the next part that we're gonna talk about, which is about cancel culture. And this is where Michael Brown stakes his flag in the ground saying, we're not talking about this anymore. And this is the longest clip that I have. And one of my writers made the previous two clips go viral. And this clip I also thought was up there in how bad it was. Now, we've seen Michael Brown turn on the waterworks at will on and off in this interview. Spoiler alert, he can manifest tears here. And I tend to come from a viewpoint that using tears is manipulative. So that's just my bias. So that's my read of when he starts to cry and stuff like that. So here's the last clip that I want to share. It's the longest, though.
And if somehow we can release a message of God's redemptive love and get back to the cross. I know for me, this has brought me deeper into the fellowship of the Lord's sufferings. And I know ultimately it's Satan who dredges up sin from the past, not God. If it's truly repented of and dealt with, Satan dredges it up, not God. Still, the Lord allowed this to happen. It's been a divine reset in my life. I've pulled back so dramatically, laid everything down. I don't need ministry. I don't need websites. All I need is Jesus. It's been very freeing and liberating in that regard. And I believe that there'll be greater fruit in the years ahead than ever as it's drawn me closer to the cross. But if we can get a message of redemptive love out of this and stop this insane destroying each other.
Yes.
It would be worth it. And if you just, I tell Nancy she has more prayer than any time ever in her life, but she's just not feeling it yet. Just continue to pray for God's blessing and restoration. One of my colleagues.
So like I said about the waterworks, he can manifest those quite frequently in this interview. Another point is, you know, he does make a legitimate point about old forgiven sins being dredged up by Satan. I do think that in general is true. Is that the case in this situation? Maybe. I'm not going to really make a judgment call on that. Because again, Michael Brown is someone who has spent his entire ministry defending false teachers. Like, that is largely what he does. And, you know, he advances his own weird theology. And maybe he's good on a few issues. Homosexuality, I think he's rather good on. But other than that, you know, he advances Messianic Judaism, which I don't believe is a biblical practice. And he defends false teachers of the prosperity gospel. Spoiler alert, you know, Messianic Judaism and this hyper-charismatic prosperity gospel tend to work together in the whole Nar-Apostle movement. They tend to work really well together, and that is kind of a negative sign on the movement. So with that said, that to me is the more pressing issue with Michael Brown. But if we need this stuff to be called out in order to get people to realize that, hey, maybe Michael Brown's been a problem for more than just this stuff from 2002, you know, then God's going to use it.
Said, you know, Mike, it's like you're driving on a mountain road with a big cliff on the other side, a big drop. And he said, it's one thing to be in the driver's seat, but when you're in the passenger seat, you got no control and you're even closer. So wives can be so attacked. We often think of the husband, more prominent leader, but just pray for blessing and restoration. And here's my goal. I just want to say this. I've lived with this every day for over 8 months, going through this stuff, going back over sin that was forgiven. Oh, and nightmare after nightmare. Can't get any worse. It gets worse. My goal is I walk out of here and I'm done with talking about this. I'm done with revisiting this. Whatever constructive lessons we can learn, mistakes I made, whatever, we'll learn them. But I want to walk out and get back to preaching the gospel and debating rabbis and setting captives free.
Come on.
And if people want to fight and wrestle with me over this, Sorry. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
Not bound down. No way.
I'm so glad you brought it.
Come on, Michael Brown. Come on. She's so annoying when she says that. Anyway, that is Michael Brown framing himself as the victim here, and he's not a victim. I don't think the Sarah Monk person's a victim, and it seems like the other person was a willing participant in a illicit relationship. So I don't think there's really any victims here except for maybe the husband of said person, who's now deceased. Anyway, not the husband, but the person is deceased. So with that said, now we're getting to, we got a diatribe coming, and this is a more of a lecture on the church and who they should be listening to. You know, you can't be listening to the internet, plebs.
What you brought up about Nancy, you know, there's an indictment on Nancy. It's not just an indictment on you.
I know.
That's right.
It's an indictment, and this is where we have to pause and say, well, hold on one second. How is that justice? How is that right? Because it's not. Because it's unholy. This is demonic. And so I want to honor Nancy. You know, if I was to ask you, who's the person on the planet that knows you best? You're probably going to say Nancy.
Number one
who's
critic.
The person you've spent most time with? Probably. Think about logic, because this nation has lost its mind.
Yes. But
intellectual honesty is very important. Civil discourse is very important. Right. Logic has to return.
That's right.
Into the gospel.
Yes.
Right? So how is it that the person that's walked with you the most for the longest, that knows you the most intimately, who happens to stand and continues to defend you, that her testimony is not admissible? Mm-hmm. That defies logic.
It defies logic.
Mm-hmm. For all the women out there, so, well, what?
Defies
there used to
logic.
Be a time in this country where people would say, well, what does his wife say? A woman of God.
The wife, or, yeah. Now, the wife that I sinned against those years
or
ago.
We now, yeah. Or we now, in, the one who forgave him.
Yeah.
From his own testimony, testifying. Or are we now saying she's not a woman of God? Do you see how far this goes?
Yes.
Yes.
So a couple things to note here. First of all, when he's talking about this country, it's like, you don't sound American with that accent. And he sounds like he's also in the Messianic Jewish lane as well. But yeah, what kind of American are you, sir? And then they're bringing up Nancy Brown, I guess is her name. And they're using her as a sacrificial lamb or something. They're using her to guilt trip people into accepting Michael Brown's testimony inside of the story. And then they're going to do the ultimate appeal to authority fallacy, which is what's coming. But again, using your wife as a sword to attack allegations against you is not a successful strategy. It's not, it does not work in the American culture. I don't remember when it has worked. I mean, did Bill Clinton just use Hillary Clinton as a sword to attack the media? I don't think it worked like that. So what time period is he talking about that you could just do that? And as a church, should we be emotionally manipulated into buying this nonsense? And the answer is no to that. We should not be manipulated into buying this nonsense.
You see that this indictment has no end.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
it has no end. So all of a sudden, so what, is Nancy not credible?
Right.
Is her forgiveness not true forgiveness? Because she forgave you. She's still married to you decades later. Mm-hmm. So where does this end? Right. It has no end. Demonic. It is to burn it to the ground.
I don't believe my spiritual leaders and pastors. I don't believe my elders. I don't believe people that are in personal relationship with Dr. Brown. I don't believe Dr. Brown's wife, who, if you've ever met Nancy, she's not exactly a shrinking violet. She has opinions and she's going to share them. I don't believe any of these people, but what I do believe wholeheartedly and without question, the testimony and reporting from people about whom I know nothing. I have decades of history of spiritual growth, of my family spiritually growing, of trust that has been built over year after year with spiritual leaders, with church leaders that are backing Dr. Brown because they have personal, deep relationship, hours of interviews and conversations and questions, answers. I have none of those things, but I'm going to throw all of that out and I'm going to believe a social parasite who has built their entire quote ministry and platform on the influence of other people.
Come on.
All of these Instagram accounts and websites.
And you're being facetious, by the way. He's being facetious. Don't take Pastor Lance out of context.
All of these websites and YouTube accounts and Instagram accounts who've built their entire quote ministry around investigating and destroying other ministries that have actual fruit, that have built something, that have built churches and ministries and preached the gospel. And the only thing you do is attach yourself to that body, suck all the nutrients from that one to build your platform with no accountability, with no spiritual authority, with no apostolic or ecclesiastical authority or governance. We talk about governance whatsoever. And foolish people, God love them, in the body of Christ, believe them instead of their trusted spiritual leaders that they have years and years of proven fruit from their ministry.
Demonic and no logic.
No.
So there you have a massive appeal to authority fallacy and just appeal to popularity as well. Like, all these people are saying that Michael Brown is innocent, that Michael Brown, you know, needs to be forgiven and restored to ministry. Why aren't you listening to them? And it's not about what people say. It's not about what these other people say about Michael Brown. Because first of all, let's talk about the hyper-charismatic movement for a second. They love themselves some easy restoration processes. They love themselves some lack of accountability. And they love themselves some low ministry standards. So let's just lay my... I'm going to lay out my cards on the table and tell you what I think and what's true here. That is a generally true criticism of the hyper-charismatic side of the faith. And another thing to note is that when they talk about apostolic authority, again, these people believe in modern apostles. And again, if you don't believe in these modern apostles, what does that make you from their perspective? So again, I don't believe that we have apostles living among us. So, and I don't think you should either, because the people that they're raising up to be apostles, I think the last new one was Greg Locke. Yeah, no thanks. Anyway, Michael Brown exists in this sphere, and he has his buddies, circling the wagons for him. And you got to believe them, because they're all pastors and ministers with ministries and churches and stuff like that. If all these other people are saying Michael Brown's cool, then you must believe that Michael Brown's cool. This logic sucks. They want to talk about logic and demonic. This logic they're using, I'm not going to say it's demonic because it's just an appeal to authority fallacy. And that's not necessarily demonic at all times, but it's pathetic and it's not convincing. So that is a general summary, actually, of this entire two and a half, three-hour-long video that they do, is that it is not convincing. Actually, let's get the full time. 3.5 hours. Yeah, like I said, Lord of the Rings length video that Michael Brown does to rehab his image. It's not working. It is pathetic. It is illogical. And, you know, the fake tears are not going to get you very far on the internet. I mean, they might, but you're not a woman. So that's all I got today. Talking about the Michael Brown. If you like this kind of content, do also subscribe to the channel, to podcast. If you're new, have a blessed day. Stay based. Christ is King. And we will catch you on the next one.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.